FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and the date is 10-10-17. Well, sometimes you write the book, and sometimes the book writes itself. Well, we're going to find out more about that. But first, email us at kl@kerrylutz.com, Twitter feeds at Kerry Lutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. So there's a book that's been out called Bigly, Donald Trump in Verse. And it came out a few days ago, literally. Just the title and the cover just made me laugh. And then the reviews got amazing reviews. Person who wrote it, Rob Long. Rob, it's your third book, and I would venture to say it's going to be your most memorable. And like you said, you didn't write it. You didn't write the book. You just kind of wrote it down, right?
Yeah, I like to say that I didn't write it. I typed it. Yeah, I was listening to it. I think it was during the primaries, maybe. I listened to a speech by Donald Trump. And, you know, in the middle of his speeches, he kind of gets a little loopy and gets rhythmic and kind of like just starts kind of free associating. And it sounded to me a lot like poetry, like, you know, modern poetry, like, yeah. Or even rap or, you know, a poetry slam or one of those things. So I took a speech that he gave, I forget where, and I just copied it down on the page. And I started to arrange the lines. And my rule was I couldn't add a word. I couldn't subtract a word. I couldn't change the order of any word. So it's just as it came out of his mouth. But it's kind of arranged the way a poem would be. And, you know, I did it. The first one I did, I thought, wow, this guy was writing poetry. And then I did a couple more. And, of course, the tweets, as we know, they're basically haikus anyway. So right. Those were easy. And I felt like, you know, this look. Love Donald Trump or hate him, you have to admit that he has a very singular way of speaking and communicating, and he's got a very special language. And, you know, that's what people said about Shakespeare. It's what people said about Tennyson. It's what people said about T.S. Eliot. And I think, you know, Donald Trump, he's right up there with the greats. He may not know it, but he really is.
Oh, I totally agree. I think it could actually transcend poetry, though, the way because... You know, he uses it as a tool of ridicule. He uses it as a tool of praise. And he uses it as a tool of communication, a way to connect between you, the listener, the audience, and him. And, you know, his language, whatever you think of it, was the key to his connecting with millions of people when he was on those rallies, right?
I think he's in the White House because of his poetry. I mean, I call it poetry. And look, I mean, again, it's like there's so much, you know, I don't even watch cable news anymore because there's so much anger and shouting and I'm offended by what you said and you're offended by me and everybody's offended and furious all the time. But I thought, you know, let's take a little break here that this is a book that if I do it right, it could appeal both to someone wearing a MAGA hat and someone who hates Trump, never Trump or any of those people. Like, you know, he's president of the United States. He's very, very, very unusual. He is also, whether, again, like him or don't like him, he's fearless when he talks. He doesn't seem to have a plan or a pattern or a speech written out. It hasn't been vetted by 9 different people. He's a spontaneous speaker and thinker, and that gets him into a huge amount of trouble. But it also... is refreshing. So I think it's one of the reasons why people like him. The people who support him almost uniformly say, to me anyway, that one thing they like is that he shoots from the hip. He connects to, you know, what it is he's thinking. He doesn't think twice about it. And he just says it. And there's something appealing about that. There's something dangerous about that too. But look, what poetry isn't a little dangerous?
Yeah, well, I think what you're describing is authenticity. You know, your typical politician nowadays running for higher office, whether it's Senate, Congress, they've got handlers, they've got people who tell them what they think and what to say about the most mundane of topics. And Trump just tossed all that out the window. I couldn't see him going before a focus group with his shtick, because he'd never say the same thing twice. And, you know, the media out there totally misunderstands it. They don't have a clue why he's appealing, because they're part of the blow-dried, focus group-driven bubble. They really don't understand what he does.
No, that's really true. I mean, again, like you don't have to be a fan of his, or you don't have to support him as president to recognize that. But unfortunately, these days, everybody conflates everything. If I don't like the guy, then I don't give him any credit. And if I do like the guy, then I give him a pass on everything. And that's, that's, like, it's fine in your friends, but it's not fine in your political leaders. I mean, I think one of the things that hurt the Democrats back during Obama's years was that they simply couldn't bring themselves to criticize him, to corral him, to treat him like a regular political figure. And I think the same thing sometimes happens with the pro-Trump crowd, where they don't, they think, well, I'm not going to criticize the guy because he gets too much anyway. These are big boys. It's okay to make fun of the president. It's okay to have a little sport with him, especially with something that's, we all recognize is a little bit loopy with him, which is the way he talks and his speeches. And it's usually right in the middle of his speeches, too. Like, he, he's on message to start, and he wraps up on message. But in between, he kind of goes way off the track and zooms all around. And that's part of the fun and the excitement of, President Donald Trump. But it's also, it felt to me like free verse. And yeah, if you read him, that's certainly what they look like.
Well, he reminds me of Elmer Gantry. I'm not saying as far as Elmer Gantry being a fraud or Trump being a fraud, but getting all those people together in the big tent and really holding them in the palm of your hand,
right,
and knowing
right
what they think at any given moment, and telling them what they want to hear, what they don't want to hear, getting them to laugh, getting them to cry, and making you just really, it's like a religious revival. Maybe it's a nationalism revival, I'm not sure, but I've never seen anybody who could do it. His last rally in Michigan, 32,000 people there. And you know what? It's amazing here, Rob, is that from the first rally he held to the last rally, the reactions of the crowd, the audience, were identical. Nothing changed
right
during that time.
Right.
Where Hillary couldn't fill a union hall.
Yeah. I remember going through it was definitely Reagan National Airport. So it was during the right at the beginning of the general. And they have a shop there during political campaigns that's got all the different little tchotchkes, to use that word, that you can get that's for politicians and political parties, right? They're all there. And they were like, I'm with her t-shirts and forward together stuff and all these different things for Hillary and all these different slogans on each one. And then on the other side, they were just Making America Great Again, hats and t-shirts, Making America Great Again on a mug, Making America Great Again on everything. And I thought to myself, well, this guy could win. I mean, this is when nobody thought he could win. And to be full disclosure, I didn't think he could win either. I was saying up until election night that he was going to lose big. But, that was a moment I really should have paid attention to, where he had a very clear way of communicating what he felt. I mean, say what you like, whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it, or the sentiments behind it. Make America Great Again is a very clear statement of purpose. It has a whole bunch of implications we can all understand. I don't know what forward together means.
Sounds like
I don't know what those speech mean. What the Hillary slogans mean. I don't know what they mean. And I think that's the kernel of the problem that she had as a candidate. I think the Democrats had.
Well, Rob, we need to take a break for a message from our sponsor, ZipRecruiter. If you're in need of great talent for your business, but you're short on time, you don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools, smarter tools. What if hiring could be easier, more streamlined, and less time-consuming? So even when you're busy, you could still be smart about the way you hire. If you're hiring, you know that quality hires keep your business moving forward, but you also know it can take a lot of time to find the right candidate for the job. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Look, I know that if I'm looking to hire, there's only one place I'll go, because it's so important that you hire the right person, and that's ZipRecruiter.com. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just a click. So you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them for you. You can even get a head start on the interview process by adding screening questions to your job post to help identify the most qualified candidates, so you don't have to waste time sorting through a stack of resumes to find that perfect person. Is it any wonder why 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just 24 hours or less? And the easy-to-use ZipRecruiter dashboard lets you manage your hiring process from start to finish all in one place. ZipRecruiter, it's just the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with near immediate results. And right now, you, my listeners, can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Yes, that's right. I said free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Lutz. ZipRecruiter.com/Lutz. The only place you need to go to fill that job vacancy. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/Lutz. So we're back here, Rob, and Forward Together sounds like something you would hear at a Mao rally, you know? I mean, give me a break. But, you know, let's talk about the title Bigly. That came out of a whole thing where they didn't know if he said Bigly, and then first they said he's an idiot, it's not a word. Then they were thinking maybe he said big league, but it actually is an adverb, and the definition is in a big way, greatly. Their gifts made the children smile bigly. That's one example. Another definition is strongly with violent force. Number three is boastfully, haughtily, and then as an adjective, pleasantly habitable. I mean, a lot of interesting definitions that all kind of fit with his personality, don't they?
Yeah, and also, like, what was the point? I mean, you know, Bigly is a... to answer the first question, like, he is saying big league, but sometimes I think, I'm pretty sure he's saying big league. And big league is a perfectly fine word, and a perfectly, you know, I know exactly what it means, sort of Anglo-Saxon word. And you're allowed to make up words like that. That's what Shakespeare did, if you're a poet, especially. I think he is. So, like, you know, people make up words all the time. It's not like you made up a word to sound smart. You made up a word to make your point more vivid. And that, you know, that I think that counts. And look, the problem with the people who criticize Trump is that they criticize everything. Yeah. They don't like anything about him. They don't like what he eats. They don't like what he wears. They don't like what he says. They don't like anything. So they're always at number 11 level of hysteria. Bigly, the fact that he said Bigly is as bad as his immigration policy. And it's crazy because it's like they're going to exhaust themselves from being mad at him, when they should just, you know, save their powder, learn to understand and at least appreciate his funness and how these poems are real. And they really sound like poems. I mean, I'm doing it tongue in cheek, but it's gently tongue in cheek. And then, you know, then you can save your energy for fighting him on healthcare, whatever it is you don't like about his policy. But in the meantime, you're fighting everything. You're just going to exhaust yourself like a baby, you know, when you try to put a baby to sleep and they fuss and fuss and fuss and fuss and fuss. And then finally they're so tired, they fall asleep without any trouble at all.
Hey, and speaking of his tweets, you know, he's changed the whole way that the news media functions. Normally, the weekends would not be a big news day. But he'll blast out a tweet at 5:30 Sunday morning, and all of a sudden, all those reporters have to get through their hangover, whether it's Eye of the Dog or whatever they use to fight off the hangover, because that's just being a journalist in this day and age. It's always been being a journalist, right? They got to fight off the hangover and go in and write a story about a 140-character tweet like Covfefe, right? Remember Covfefe?
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's so. Right. I mean, I think what drives him insane is that, you know, what he's doing it on Sunday morning that early, he's getting up and getting ready to go play golf.
Yeah.
Right. And so while he's like getting ready or while he's sitting in the clubhouse, whatever he's doing, he's watching TV and he's tweeting. Mm-hmm. And it just drives them insane. But it's pretty funny.
It's like a bomb.
I don't say he's tweeting. I say
he's composing poetry.
Composing haiku. Yeah.
And they don't get it. That's the thing. You know, it's one thing like, all right, you're in on the joke. You go along with it. We're all in it kind of together, right? So, but they're so dense about it, Rob. They refuse to admit that he gets the better of them, that he's outthought them, or that he can have a joke on your behalf. They can't deal with it. They don't like being ridiculed, the media, and they don't like being trolled. And yet every time, Rob, they fall for it, right?
Right. And it must be exhausting.
Yeah.
And like nobody, look, I mean, you know, we all have our own political views and we all have our own political positions and likes and dislikes, but no politician is, nobody is totally, totally without merit.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
right.
I remember talking to somebody on the other side. I mean, from the other perspective, who was a conservative during Obama's presidency, and I said, okay, I said, look, here's a chance. Say something nice about the guy.
They couldn't.
Because they couldn't. And I was like, well, that's a problem. You should be able to say something nice about a guy. If you can't, you're just blinded by your reaction. So you're not really thinking about the country and the politics and the policy. I mean, and I would say the same thing to the anti-Trump crowd on the other side. Like, say something nice about the guy.
Yeah.
See something about him that you think is amazing that he's, you know, whatever you think of his children, they love him. They're around him. They support him. I say about Obama, like, whatever you say about Obama, like, he's a good dad. Those are nice kids. Like, everybody's like wearing a black hat or a white hat. And part of the fun of bringing the poems was to sort of hope that the pro-Trumpers sometimes a little bit, I think, over the top in their
friends. Yeah. Let's face it. Yeah, of course.
Over the top in their criticism. You find a common ground.
Right. Of course. Hey, well, you know, it's just so funny, like you said, and I think that's really important, is that, well, two things, okay? So the first thing is what you said, that nobody is all good or bad. We're human beings. We have our redeeming, hopefully most of us have our redeeming characteristics. And the other thing is that what we alluded to at the beginning, but I'm going to emphasize now, is that Trump is the end of the manufactured candidate. All of the candidates up until Trump, I would argue, from Reagan, you could say was manufactured, but he was an actor, so it was a lot harder to pick up on it. But all of, whether it's Clinton, Bush 1, Bush 2, Obama, they're all manufactured. You have no idea of what they really think, who they really are, what the portrayal that you see by the media of their good points, their bad points. The media creates them, all right? They are creations. Trump, you cannot say he was created by the media. He's of the media for sure, but he kind of transcended the media. He's not a manufactured candidate. There's a real person when you scratch the veneer with all these other candidates since Reagan. And arguably, you could go back to Kennedy and Nixon. Maybe Nixon was authentic, but the others, LBJ, total fraud. You know, you didn't know what they were because the media gave you an image, a false image that was manufactured. It wasn't real. But Trump, not so.
Yeah, I mean, Trump, you know, he rides the media like, you know, a bronco. You know, he kind of it's a relationship that he channels and tries to sort of, you know, harness it in a way that I think no one has done. And probably because most people that job, running for that job, this is the biggest thing in their life. This is the biggest thing they've ever done.
Yeah.
Trump, love him, hate him, whatever. You know, he didn't think, even he says, I didn't think I was going to win on election night. He campaigned and speaks, and I say again, proposes poetry with a kind of a freedom that has really has really propelled him to this, to the White House, which is pretty amazing. I mean,
yeah. Well, when
there's not any, there aren't that many other politicians who have that kind of free, open kind of courage.
Absolutely. And hey, when you lay everything on the line here, and when you just risk it all without respect to the outcome, Rob, it gives you a certain kind of freedom, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. You get to say what you think.
Yeah.
And that's good and bad, right? The good news is you get to say what you think. The bad news is sometimes you say what you think.
Yeah. What you think isn't what people want to hear. Hey, so the book. Yeah. So let's go back to the book, which is definitely worth a read. I highly recommend Bigly, Donald Trump in Verse, Make Poetry Great Again by Rob Long. Rob, the book's obviously available at Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and wherever fine books used to be sold. And hey, what's your website, by the way?
You can find me at ricochet.com, R-I-C-O-C-H-E-T.
Ricochet.com, and the book's put out by Regnery, and highly recommend it. Quick read. It'll make you laugh, or it'll make you cry, or it'll make you angry as hell, or just gloating, so happy to see that the establishment got stood up on its backside. Whatever the case may be, check it out. Rob Long, Bigly, Donald Trump in Verse. Hey, any questions, comments for Rob and myself? Email us, kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, and the Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Rob, great luck on the book, and we'll talk to you again. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.